where it is 5:03. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Brad Thompson, Randy Carricker with you from Buffalo Wild Wings in Chesterfield Valley. We'd love to have you stop by and say hi. A lot of great things happening here, and we'll be here till 7. Our online Call of Duty tournament is officially underway, and you can enter and play now through June 16th. It's free to enter, and you can play for your share of $1,000. Grab the code word available only at your local Buffalo Wild Wings and text in to win a trip for two to Las Vegas and get special offers from Buffalo Wild Wings. Plus, you'll have the chance to take on Meat in a game of FIFA after the show. The battle will go out on Facebook Live, and you'll play for bragging rights and a B-Dubs gift card. It all takes place at the conclusion of the broadcast, but you have to be here at Buffalo Wild Wings in Chesterfield Valley to play against Meat. Be warned, the loser will have to take part in a wing challenge, and if that's against Meat, that might be tough to win.
Well, I mean,
it's a hot wing challenge, not a wing eating.
Yeah, it is about the heat.
Challenge.
And on Meat, even though he's been practicing his FIFA, and when I say practicing his FIFA, he was just picking his legs up and down like he was dribbling a soccer ball. Chances are, if you've got any FIFA chops, you're just going to come take the gift card off his hands and watch him eat a hot wing.
Hey, I almost scored a goal that one time.
Almost,
it was close.
Horseshoes and hand grenades, Meat.
When you stop by here also, try out the new All-American Cheeseburger, available only at Buffalo Wild Wings.
It's ridiculous.
And you can watch all the hockey here, and they show the UFC fights here at Buffalo Wild Wings now as well. Before we get to your texts for Take It or Leave It 65780, we've said it time and again, cats are the worst. A crew of firefighters in Ohio responded to a call of a trapped kitten in an engine compartment. After coaxing and a little bending, the crew rescued the kitten successfully. But the story didn't end there. After the rescue, the kitten wasn't lovable and thankful for the rescue like a dog would be. The dang thing took off into the engine of the fire truck and got stuck again. The fire chief said, you couldn't see him. He wouldn't poke his head out, and he was in a little bit of a tight spot to where there was no way to get him out without forcing him further back into the engine. And he kept howling all night long, so you knew he was there. 36 hours later, the kitten was finally freed again.
Well, here's the bright spot. The kitten was finally freed. It was probably really scared and wanted to find a place to hide.
Like,
that's the logical thing.
Yeah,
a dog would never do that. A dog would give you kisses in the face.
Exactly.
Say, I love you. Thank you, human. Thank you.
MLB has officially announced that next June 13th and 14th, the Cards and Cubs will play at London Stadium in London, England. BT, that'll be pretty cool for the London fans who will have a team in there and a group of fans who have experienced exactly one more world championship than they have in London.
Oh, Randy. Did you do that?
Yeah, I did.
I'll take it. I'll take it. It's very nice.
London's got a great history.
Yeah.
Nice town.
Look, kids, Big Ben, Parliament. Yeah. It'd be awesome. It's kind of cool. The only downside of having that series is it takes away a home series for the Cardinals, I believe it is, on this one against the Cubbies. But I don't know. I think it's pretty – I really enjoyed the trip to Monterrey, Mexico, and kind of seeing the growing of the game there. And London will be an awesome one too, man. They're showing off some of their best. So, and the Cubs. Also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be good.
There you go.
That'll be good. You like fun stories, right, Randy?
I love fun stories.
All right, well, kind of a fun one. I mean, not for the young man that's involved. Texas A&M defensive back Derek Tucker. He was arrested and charged on Thursday for assault stemming from a fight. Now, this fight happened on March 24th. And according to the police report, Tucker and another individual, he got into a physical altercation following an argument over, wait for it, tacos. Ooh. The argument was over tacos. Take it or leave it. Tacos are in the top three foods worth getting into a physical altercation over.
I'm going to take that.
I'm going to take it, too. I'm going tacos,
pizza,
and burgers. I think I would fight over burgers, too.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
top, let's start again. Top five.
Taco?
No, never mind.
No. Taco, pizza, burgers.
Wings.
Yeah, you got to throw wings in there.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, if you're going to have fights and then, I don't know where you, well, maybe a steak. Maybe the steak places. I don't know if you fight over that. Yeah, I think you do. But the thing is with steak, most steak is pretty darn good. So what you're fighting over is, like, that's a terrible steak. If somebody says, no, that's not.
I just really wish that we had more information, and hopefully more comes out as these reports get leaked. Because we just know that it's over tacos, but we don't know what it is. Is it over chicken or beef? Is it over crunchy or soft? I mean, like, how did this all go down?
Yeah, and one thing we know about, for example, an argument over wings, if it's about where they're from, it's really not an argument at all.
Well, no, it's right here at Buffalo Wild Wings specifically. Come see us in the Chesterfield Valley today till 7 o'clock. Come hang out. It's a place to be.
Big Sis, what do you have for us?
Take it or leave it. While the Blues were in Boston, Robert Kraft met with Vladdy to explain what a rub-off is.
I'm going to leave that.
I'm going to leave it as well. He probably...
He could explain it.
Yeah. I don't know if it was meant that way.
No, I don't think so.
No,
either.
No. That was, I really was disappointed that I wasn't here with you guys the day after quote. I could have had some fun with
There's
that.
There's a T-shirt, though.
I know there is. I know there is. This should be here in 3 to 5 days.
Take it or leave it. You would hate to be the piece of gum in Craig Berube's mouth.
Oh, take it.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think I've said that one before. Like, he puts a hurting on that bad
he
boy.
Does.
Do you think it's the same piece throughout the game? Or do you think he like switches in intermissions? Because I use the same – I'll chew the same piece of gum for a long time. I'll do it for, like, hours and hours on end because I almost like the toughness of it. Like, that's part of me – I'm chewing the gum for that reason.
We'll have to ask him. I would think that there would be a different one every period. But after this win on Sunday, we'll ask him. He'll be jovial.
Take it or leave it. With all of the fans posting slow-motion replays of the hits – in the NHL, it's starting to feel like the PGA with all the fans calling in penalties.
I'm going to leave it because they listen. The PGA listens.
Yeah. It's like, you know what? Thank you so much.
We'll penalize the guy.
Yeah. Barbara called.
Yeah, at Tiger Woods. Never mind. Yeah, the one guy that ended up dating the tennis player.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was something slanging. Yeah, something slanging Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for pointing out this error that you saw on TV.
Take it or leave it. Sometimes the fast lane sends meat to get interviews with Robin Williams-type people just to keep him occupied and out of the way.
No, I'm going to leave that. We would never send you to interview him. Now, we will have you. I guarantee there's been a time that one of us has thrown out a name for you to like try to get as a guest, and then maybe you did a little research to find a contact number and then to find out that they're no longer with us.
You probably definitely has. I can't think off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's
got him. Thoughts and prayers.
Oh, your husband died. Oh, okay.
I'm so sorry.
Who did that happen with? That didn't happen.
It didn't.
Yes, it did. Who was it? We had you pursuing a dead person.
Did we really?
Yeah, I wish I could think of it.
So none of us knew?
I don't remember
that. This person
that.
Was gone? Golly, we should all do more research if that's the case.
Yeah, I thought it was our show.
I want it to be so bad.
It'll happen. Give it time. And take it or leave it, when the Blues win, the Boston area will say it was only because of the refs and never give the Blues the credit they deserve.
I'll leave it.
I'm going to leave it, too.
There will be some that'll be there, but I think for the most part, while tension is high during series, I think at the end of it you can get a little bit clearer view of whoever is winning. And either way, it really isn't going to matter. I know this. Come Monday, if the Blues were able to win on Sunday, I'm not going to be listening to Boston Radio to find out what they think.
I don't care. Boston Radio is going to be talking about Patriots OTAs.
That's a good call. Turn the page to your next champion.
Exactly. Thanks very much for the text to the Hot Shots text line 65780. It is 512, and next up we'll head to the Hot Shots text line 657. Or no, we're going to head to the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line for Jeremy Rutherford, our Blues insider from The Athletic. He's next on 101 ESPN. Our buddy Jeremy Rutherford from The Athletic does a great Q&A at The Athletic, and you can read the transcript. It's been completed today. Just go to JR's page on Twitter, and you can follow it there. He's got a link right to it. Jeremy Rutherford is with us now on the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line on 101 ESPN. BT and Randy, Ronge is out. How are you, JR?
Very good. Randy and BT, how are you guys?
Good. So I need to publicly apologize. So last night, my family and I are watching the Blues post-game show, and we see Jeremy holding his phone out there recording and getting stuff to transcribe for his work at The Athletic. And I said, I'm going to see if I can make his phone light up.
So you didn't call him.
You called him?
Yeah.
While he was working?
Yeah. He's the nicest guy in the world. Jer is the nicest guy in the world. So I get a text back. I'm at a press conference.
Yeah, I know.
Everything okay? Yeah. So anyway, JR, I wanted to publicly apologize to you, but it was I thought I was being funny.
No, you were. But I texted you right away and said, in a press conference, can I call you back? But yeah, to look down and see your name, I thought you had a Randy character nugget, a Megamind nugget, and you were going to turn me on to this great story. And so I was disappointed when I found out you were just pranking me.
No, it doesn't mess up the recording at all, does it? If in fact you get a phone call during one?
No, you can do that. It'll just, hopefully you don't have the ringer on, right? But
all right, well, that's good news.
That's never been
done
before.
Depending on what interview it was, I mean, nobody wanted to get in the way of Bruce Cassidy whining about things. I wouldn't want to have that audio messed up, JR.
No, you definitely need that audio. That was last night. He took that approach, and I know that there's been a lot of talk about that. Randy just referenced the chat. I had a lot of questions during the chat about Bruce Cassidy's, just kind of talking about how the narrative's kind of changed ever since Craig Berube came out a couple games ago and said that the Blues are getting called for too many penalties, and Bruce Cassidy taking exception to that and then felt like the call last night was a black eye on the league. And, hey, we're not going to disagree, or at least I'm not. You know, it probably should have been, could have been called a tripping penalty, but certainly not the reason why the Boston Bruins lost last night's game. And we can all agree that every team that made it this far into the playoffs is dealing with a call that went for them, went against them. Last night it happened to go against Boston. But like I said, more reasons why the Bruins are in the position they are than that call.
JR, you're uniquely qualified to answer this question because you're around so much and you observe so much. Why has Boston's perfection line been the bad line in 5-on-5? What have the Blues done?
Yeah, Colton Parayko, Joel, Jay Bouwmeester, and a combination of a couple forward lines. And that's it. It's honestly it. They have played that line terrifically. And if we roll back the tape to prior to game one, I said that going into this series, that's going to be a key thing to watch. That line has been absolutely terrific. The Blues have done a good job against top lines, but this is a line that's even better than the Logan Couture line. But they have not done anything in this series. You look at it, in five games, they've played 188 minutes of even strength time, that top line together, and they do not have an even strength goal. They have an empty netter by Brad Marchand, and they have two power play goals. You can't say enough about the job Parayko and Bouwmeester, and, you know, to a lesser extent, some of the other defensive pairs have done against those guys. And then the top forward lines. The Blues have said all along that they feel confident any forward combination they can put up against that group. And, you know, they've gotten a ton from the Sundquist line, from the Braden Shen line. They're just defending them perfectly, and that line's not able to get any traction. It's a big, big key to the series so far.
JR, no surprise here, but NHL player safety just tweeting right now that Ivan Barbashev has been suspended for one game for that illegal check to the head of Boston's Marcus Johansson. How does that affect the Blues on Sunday?
Well, first of all, the suspension, it doesn't surprise me. I did not see the ruling you're saying that's coming out right now, but we just chatted about it for the past couple hours, and I said it would not be surprise me if they got the one-game suspension. I felt like the hit was high, and I know some people are going to argue that the head was, you know, likely not the point of contact, but it's the second time for Ivan Barbashev. He had the hit on Thomas Hertl for the San Jose Sharks in the last series. They didn't give him any discipline there. And, you know, just talking to these player safety guys over the years, that's a big thing with them. When you're talking about the same guy in a couple different situations over the course of, in Ivan Barbashev's case, you're talking about two and a half weeks, they're likely going to come down on you, and they are in this case, as you announced, the one-game suspension for Ivan Barbashev. How does it affect the Blues? I think what's going to happen, and this is just a guess here, I think that Robbie Fabry would come into the lineup. I think that Sammy Blais would probably go down to the fourth line. Robbie Fabry would take his spot on the third line. I just don't like Robbie Fabry on that fourth line. He seems to do better when he's up a little bit in the lineup. And Sammy Blais, we all know he's a physical player, and he should fit in well on that fourth line. So I think that's how the Blues will handle the Barbashev suspension.
J.R., Jordan Binnington, I mean, he does it again. 38 saves, the 38 saves, the most by a rookie ever in a final game. And are you running out of ways to describe what Jordan Binnington is at this point?
Yeah, I really am. And, you know, last night, it's funny you asked that because he was the story last night. And so you sit down, and I always tell you guys the cursor's blinking and on the laptop, and what do you write? What do you write? And, you know, what came to me last night was that the best game he's ever played? Like, what else can you say about how he's performed? You certainly can't tell people about his calm demeanor. You can't tell people about how he just seems to not overreact to anything, just keep being himself. And I don't know that that advances the story any further, lets anybody know more about Jordan Binnington. But last night, if not for him, especially in that first period, 17 saves. So that tied a mark that he had earlier in the postseason against Dallas. He had a first period, 17 stops. What really sticks out to me with Jordan Binnington, and I think we've talked about this recently, guys, is how he just continues to get better late in series when the pressure, you would think, just continues to mount. He like the team, is now 7-1 in games 5, 6, and 7 of these four rounds. And his save percentage, I didn't calculate it after last night, but it should still be pretty similar, about a .935. I mean, that's ridiculous for a 25-year-old guy in his first year playing in the Stanley Cup Final to play that way in games 5, 6, and 7. So definitely running out of ways to describe him. You can just let the video show for itself, and he let that happen again last night.
Our Blues insider from The Athletic, Jeremy Rutherford, with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Jeremy, when Craig Berube talked about initially the Blues being the least penalized team in the league, I thought those comments were rather benign, and I didn't get the sense that they were said to send a message. When you were in that press conference and heard him say that, did you get that sense? And would you be surprised if officials took that group of comments to heart?
You know, when I get posed this question, and I did in my chat, you know, I try not to be naive. I try not to think that there's some human element where, you know, officials do hear it and say, you know, we need to probably call the game a little differently. Maybe the Blues are getting penalized a little too much. I don't personally think that's, you know, happening, but again, I don't want to be naive. Having said that, I did think the comments were subtle, but they did have a point. They did have a meaning. Otherwise, Craig Berube wouldn't have come out and said what he did. Does it have an effect? I don't see how it does. But you saw last night, Bruce Cassidy felt like it certainly did. He feels like ever since Craig Berube said that, it's kind of shifted. He said the narrative kind of changed when the opposition made those comments. And then if you want to compare what Craig Berube did to what Bruce Cassidy did last night, I just felt like, you know, Bruce Cassidy was a little bit more out there with his comments, saying it was a black eye. And he really put the onus on that one call. And I feel like what he did is he made coming back for game 6 for the Boston Bruins a little bit more of a mental challenge. It's almost like they're going up against the officials now. Whereas I don't know that Craig Berube did that with his comments. I think that he just pointed that out. Whereas Bruce Cassidy is telling his team, telling the rest of the league, anybody who will listen, that the Boston Bruins lost that game because of that call.
JR, some great adjustments for the Blues, specifically on the PK. First of all, just not giving up as many chances. But they also, you were tweeting about it during the game, they were doing things differently. They were getting in the way. Specifically, what were the adjustments that the Blues were able to make on the PK in that game?
Well, what I saw, Brad, was too many times in this series, and a little bit 5-on-5 early in the series, and definitely on the power play, the Bruins are just able to get that cross-ice pass through the seams without the Blues getting a stick on the puck, and you just can't have that. I mean, those turn bang bang plays when you're talking about the elite talent on this Boston power play being able to get the puck across ice. And so, you know, last night what I saw a couple times was the Blues, you know, maybe they're sticking their arm out a little further, using your reach and getting that stick out a little further, but they did break up a couple of those passes, and it's not just breaking up the pass, but once you do that, then it allows one of your PK guys you know, to maybe get a stick on it and get it out of the zone, and then they've got to regroup and reset, and now they don't have the same zone time on the power play. So, you know, that wasn't necessarily, you know, probably the biggest adjustment they made, but that's the one that I noticed, that the Boston Bruins just didn't have as much zone time on that PK. And while they did score the four goals on just four shots, so not a ton of shot volume in that game three, they were able to produce without getting a lot of volume. You certainly want to limit the volume. And if you look, I think ever since they went 4-for-4 on the four shots, they're about 0-for-5 on the power play with probably 5 or 6 shots on net. So definitely not getting volume, and that's good for the Blues PK.
JR, before we let you go, Bernie Miklas writes today at 101ESPN.com, if the Blues win Sunday, it would be the greatest single evening in St. Louis sports history. Your take?
Yeah, no, I would have to agree. And when I say that, I do not want to take anything away from whatever the St. Louis Cardinals have done. I think, Brad, you won a World Series, right? So I don't want to take anything away from that. I mean, I'm going to be upfront and honest here. I grew up in St. Louis. I've lived here my whole life. I'm a Cardinal fan at heart. I know what that warm, fuzzy feeling is like when you're watching a World Series game on TV. It's amazing. You know, but they've been able to divide up the droughts from the World Series, you know, by winning, you know, once or twice a decade, and it's great. It seems like the norm. It's to be expected. So this isn't a case that it's the Blues versus the Cardinals. This is a case that a franchise in this city has gone 52 years without a championship, and there are people who were there on the day one, and they are watching this series right now, and they have never seen their franchise win. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's blue, red, Cardinals, Blues. This is something special, and I agree with Bernie that this could be, or will, as he says, the greatest night in sports history if that were to take place on Sunday.
It's awesome stuff, and you do awesome work at The Athletic. Thank you very much, sir, and we will see you over the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
See ya. Jeremy Rutherford, our Blues insider from The Athletic on 101 ESPN. Most people, when I did that last night, when I called his phone while he was interviewing people, would have cursed me out. And he calls me up and says, hey, is there anything I can do for you?
Yeah, hey, what do you need?
Yeah.
Jay's
the best.
JR is
the nicest,
is the best.
Nicest person in the world.
Yes.
I shouldn't have done it. I felt bad afterwards.
It's funny. I do it to you sometimes during the show to make sure your ringer's off.
Yeah, try me now, buddy.
I do it to Dan sometimes, too.
Oh, yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. Good, clean fun.
Next up in the fast lane, we want your text to the Hot Shots text line 657. So the weekend is almost here. The Blues are one win away from the Stanley Cup. The Cardinals are kind of scuffling. Maybe you have a first date with a new young lady this weekend. Well, if you want to send us a text, the Hot Shots text line 65780 awaits. The Sports Six-Pack is next on 101 ESPN. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings, the only place to watch the playoffs with wall-to-wall TVs, great food, and great drinks. Stop by here on Sunday night for game number 6. And be sure to try the new All-American Cheeseburger, available only at Buffalo Wild Wings. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. Big Sis had one of those, didn't you?
Yeah,
meat
I'm ready for another one.
Meat approved. There you
so
go.
That's a good burger.
We'll be here till 7 at the Buffalo Wild Wings. Hey, there's a meetup on our sheet here.
Oh, and I didn't type it.
Here, look at it. Did you see this?
What's it say?
It says we're at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Creve-Coeur when we're in Chesterfield Valley.
We'll be here until 7. They're all awesome.
Yeah. Our online Call of Duty tournament is officially underway, and you can enter and play now through June 16th, and you can play meet in a game of FIFA after the show is over. The battle will go out on Facebook Live, and you will play for bragging rights and a B-Dubs gift card. All takes place at the conclusion of the broadcast, but you have to be here. So get here by 7 o'clock to participate, and the loser will take part in a wing challenge. So that'll be fun.
That will be fun.
We
appreciate to put the beat down on somebody.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Meetups are the best, even when they're not his. His meetup in the fight today, Randy, was really good.
Epic, yeah.
Careery homo eros.
Let's get to your questions on the Sports Six-Pack on 101 ESPN.
Question number one.
The question that everybody's been asking all playoffs for the Blues, why can they not score on the power play?
I think that there is some sort of a schematic deficiency here. I don't think that it's the talent level.
Well, it's not like it was like the best thing in the world all year.
No.
So I don't think that you should expect more out of it playing against better teams in the playoffs. I haven't been shocked by it. Not that I wouldn't like to see it, but I'm not shocked. No.
But it is interesting. Many times when teams get a different assistant coach to run the power play will get better. And remember, the Blues never really replaced Craig Berube as an assistant coach when he took over as the head coach. And I wonder if they'll do that during the offseason, is bring in somebody who's more of a power play specialist. I have no idea schematically how they could make it better, but it sure seems to me that with the talent that you have on hand, when you have guys like O'Reilly, Shen, Maroon, Tarasenko, Parayko, Petrangelo, some of the other guys, it seems like it should be more effective than it is.
Question number two.
You asked if anybody was going out on a date this weekend. Yeah. We do have somebody from the 314 going out on first dinner date with a special girl. I think she's the one.
Not ribs.
I'm almost there, but I forgot my wallet.
What do you mean?
What do I do?
Almost to meet her?
I guess. Is she in the car with you?
If she is close to being the one, you know her pretty well.
Hold on. It's their first dinner date. How do you know she's the one?
Yeah. Screw all that, all right? We're trying to help the guy right now. Like, yes. None of that matters. We'll talk about that later. All right, here's the deal. So a couple things. First of all, if you have a reservation and you're meeting each other at the same time, it's going to be difficult to double back and go get your wallet. So you got to have somebody do you solid. So whether it's who knows? I don't know how old this person is. If they live with their parents, hey, great. That's an easy one. If somebody has keys to your place, let them do it. If you've got a buddy that can just drop off some cash for you that can pay you back, get on the horn with stuff like that. Start working that. And honestly, the friend that brings you cash, that could happen in – it could happen – excuse me, I'm going to the restroom really fast, and your buddy already meets you up front with some money. So don't be late is the biggest thing. Don't be late to this one. And we hope that she is the one, you know, after this first date.
Yeah, good play. Now, if you don't have that person, then just explain yourself. Say, I forgot my wallet, and hopefully you don't have reservations. You'll be. Can we swing by my place? I got to pick up my wallet.
That's gonna sound. It's gonna sound creepy. Don't the swing by my place on the first dinner date is gonna sound creepy.
You don't even have to ask her in. Just go pick it up, and hopefully she'll offer and say, you know what? I'll cover this, and you can pay me back.
You ask her to pay for it, and then
no,
you Venmo.
No, you don't.
Her.
You don't
you Venmo her.
You don't ask her to pay for it.
I had this happen one time. I was golfing. And I forgot my wallet in the golf cart and didn't realize it until after. And I met somebody that night for dinner, and I did not have my wallet.
Hey, Meat, real quick question.
Yeah.
Not to get too personal here. How did that work out?
It did not work out that well. I had a great meal.
There's a young lady over here that's laughing.
Hey, I'll Venmo you.
Cool. It was like the second or third time we'd been out. It wasn't the first time.
All right. We did the best we could with that one.
Sorry.
Question number three.
I think it was yesterday, maybe 2 days ago, NHL Network's Mike Rupp joined our show and said if the Blues won, he would eat a shoe. What type of shoe would we ask him to eat?
Oh, an enormous boot of some sort.
Yeah, I think that's the direction that you have to go.
Yeah, a cowboy
biggest,
boot?
Yeah, leather, real
lots
tough leather.
And lots of leather.
Yeah. It's been worn a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not a new one.
So how did in what context did he say that? I wasn't here for this.
Yeah, I think it was
he just basically said, it ain't going to happen, I'll eat a shoe.
He made a comment and said that he thought the Blues had played to the top of their game, to their ceiling in game four, and he would be shocked, and he said he would eat
his shoe. If they could play better.
Yeah, if they
could
play better.
You know what people should stop doing is saying stuff that they'll never do.
Hot takey. Yeah.
Or that's really hard. One time, one of the Pirates broadcasters, Jim Rooker, a former pitcher of theirs, they had a big lead, and he said, if the Pirates lose this game, I'm going to walk back to Pittsburgh from Philadelphia. The Phillies came back and won. And then later in the season, like the last series of the season, he walked back from Philadelphia to Pittsburgh.
How long did that take?
Days.
Oops.
Question number four.
So everybody seems to have a ton of faith in this Jordan Binnington guy. Besides Kurt Warner, has there been a guy in St. Louis that you look at him and just have total and complete faith in?
Albert.
Yeah, but he didn't come out of – well, I mean, 13th round is coming out of nowhere, but everybody kind of knew that he was going to be special. They knew he was going to be special when he was given number five.
Yeah.
So I mean, yes, though. That was a guy that you just knew that every single time in a situation he was going to step up and do something awesome. So, I mean, I just can't think of another, like, came out of nowhere and then was the guy. Now, Kurt Warner was the guy, like, that season, but he had a Hall of Fame career also.
Right.
So, Jordan Binnington, I mean, this is his first year. We just don't know. We don't know what he's going to be for the rest of it. But even for a one-year carried your team, I can't think of a comp.
No, there really isn't. I think you can even go back to the football Cardinal days and some, like Jim Hart was an undrafted free agent, but he didn't burst onto the scene. He had to ascend. That's the strange thing about both Warner and Binnington is that they just burst onto the scene out of nowhere. And that's not just a St. Louis thing. That doesn't happen in sports very often.
No, it doesn't. By the way, real quick, we got a text from 314. It said, my now husband forgot his wallet at home on his first date. We ended up getting married,
Maybe
it could work out for them, too.
Okay. Ask how he solved that problem. Did she pay for the first date?
Yeah, we're going to have to ask that.
Thank you very much for listening, young ma'am, and we hope you'll text back with that one.
Yes.
Question number 5.
We discussed it earlier. I've got jury duty on Monday. Many people are trying to get out of work on Monday if and when the Blues win the Stanley Cup. Best excuse to get out of work, out of the office?
I'm drunk. That yeah. might work. It honestly might work.
I think if you just go with the blue flu.
Like, hey, you know where I was, right? You know what I've been doing?
Yep.
You want me to come to work?
Don't
no.
make me lie.
Just come back Tuesday. Yeah, come back yeah. Tuesday. All right. Employers, expect zero, little to none as far as productivity. Yeah, I mean, it's probably not going to happen.
Even
Monday.
On this show.
If they win, obviously. We're not just saying it's a foregone conclusion that the Blues are going to win. But if, in fact, they do. Yeah, you're not going to get much out of your employees. And I wouldn't say even on this show, I'd say especially on it.
Take it or leave it, for a time, O.B. Clark's will become a 24-hour restaurant when the Blues win the Stanley Cup.
Well, I don't know how they're going to pull that off license-wise, but maybe if you peeked in the windows. I love that place so much.
It's great.
Question number 6.
And after Bruce Cassidy crying last night, do you expect any changes officiating-wise in Game 6?
No, they only have 4 referees, and they rotate them during the finals. So, no, I don't think the league is going to make that change. So.
Nah, it'll be fine. Everything's fine. And here's what else I don't see. I don't see it mattering because the Blues are just going to put the pedal to the metal. It's going to be good to go.
Yep, play their game. That's what they have to do. If they play their game, they'll be fine. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thanks for your text. We didn't hear back from that lady yet, did we?
You know what? I'm not sure.
Okay. We got to find out if because we got to take care of our guy who's driving to a restaurant.
We did get an excuse here for Monday. It says death in the family. You're technically not lying if you kill your own liver. That's from the 573.
That's a good one. Coming up here in the fast lane, we have game number 4 of the NBA Finals tonight. And no Kevin Durant, but Klay Thompson is back. How effective can he be? We'll have that for you next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Great to have you with us in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. BT and Randy with you. Just got a tweet from a guy, Brian Reckelhoff, friendly sort. Says, he's taking a shot at the NHL, not at me. I'm sorry. Sorry, Brian. Brian Reckelhoff's a good guy. He says, NHL, you are...
You were about to blast him. I didn't even read it.
Yeah. He says, NHL, you are pathetic. You couldn't make your bias more obvious if you tried. When we win Sunday, we the Blues, are you going to turn it into a best-of-9 series? So I was thinking that he was saying...
Now, in fairness, that sounds a lot like us, too.
Yeah.
You guys are so biased. Yeah.
Because a Boston guy tweeted me last night and said, you're biased. And I said, of course I am. I'm not rooting for the Bruins.
Yes. Yes, I am biased.
So Brian's cool.
Yeah, sure. Do the radio and stuff, but I want the Cardinals and the Blues to win.
Yeah.
Golly, Randy got all charged up, didn't he?
Charged up, no doubt. There are a couple of good seats available for tonight's Warriors-Raptors Game 4 of the NBA Finals because one of the owners of the Warriors pushed Kyle Lowry and lost his seats.
Dude, you can't do that. That was a tad bit too aggressive. Don't you agree, Randy?
I think that was over-aggressive, yeah.
Well, he's getting fined a hefty amount, $500,000, and he's gone for the whole year next year.
Right. And now there's a report today that he'll have to sell his share of the Warriors by the beginning of next season.
Whoops.
Yeah.
Control yourself one time.
Tonight, Klay Thompson will play. Kevin Durant will miss the game, and there are reports now that there's no way that Durant will be able to play during the course of the finals. Getting Thompson back is obviously huge, but I'm not so sure that Thompson and Curry and the rest of that crew is going to be enough to stop what Toronto has. Toronto's shooting the daylights out of the basketball, and now that in addition to the spectacularness that is Kawhi Leonard, that they have Kyle Lowry going too. I think they're going to be a tough team to stop. And they've got really some tough size, too, that is really good.
It's actually kind of fun to be talking about the series in this way, where Golden State is against the ropes, because that has not been a talking point over the last couple of years. It hasn't felt like it, at least. I mean, whenever you talk about Golden State, you talk about the dominance that's there, and it's Kevin Durant certainly, you know, winning the MVP a couple of times has been a big-time reason for that. I still believe that if the Splash Brothers are doing Splash Brother things, that you can't take away both those guys at once. They do a great job of moving the ball around the perimeter, and when those guys are knocking down shots, I don't care how much pressure you're putting on them, they can still beat you. But they both have to have special nights, and somebody else is going to need to step up as well. And the Raptors have been doing a very good job of playing them as tough as possible. I mean, losing Kevin Durant is it's a bigger deal than I thought it was going to be coming in. And I know that's crazy to say with a player that's an MVP, a guy of his caliber, but he's noticeably missing against Toronto.
Especially and I think Klay being out the other night, that just that deprives them of two, probably their two best defensive players, with all due respect to Draymond Green. I would say that in terms of length and speed and ability, that those two guys are their best defenders. And when you're going up against Siakam and you're going up against, that's in addition to Leonard and Lowry, it's really difficult defensively. It's interesting that the Warriors have scored 109 points in each of the three games so far. But in two of the games, they've been outscored dramatically because Toronto scored 118 in the first and 123 in the second. And that's what we're talking about. You need to be able to hold them, Toronto, below 109 points to 108 or fewer. And that's why Klay will benefit them tonight. But I agree with you 100%. There are very few guys in the league that have the ability to neutralize Leonard. And it's not, he hasn't broken out yet this series, but he's going to. And one of the reasons, by the way, with him not playing great, that's one of the reasons that a guy like Lowry has been able to find shots and score.
Well, you have to know where he is on the court at all times. And if you're going to lean a man or if you're going to double-team somebody, that's the guy that is going to be. And I know that coming into this series, not too many people were giving the Raptors much love. Personally, I was not either. I thought that Golden State was going to roll through it. I know, Randy, you were more in favor of the Raptors in this one, certainly than I was at the very least. Well, look, Toronto, they're not surprised at all where they're at right now. They're not surprised at the pressure they're putting on. They've been running through everybody at this point. And when you have a guy like Kawhi Leonard, when you have other guys on this team, when you have a spicy P who can go out and give you 32 in the first one, not that he backed it up necessarily the next couple, but when you have individuals that can give out performances like that while you still get the consistency of a Kawhi Leonard, well, you're probably going to have a lot of success. I still see this series going 6 or 7. I still see Golden State being able to battle back, get right back into it, get as healthy can be. And this is unfair, this comment I'm about to make, but I just think that it's a nice snapshot between the NBA and the NHL. I watched Zdeno Chara couldn't open his mouth. He couldn't open it. He couldn't talk, couldn't breathe. And he's out there playing hockey, and then you got guys that can't go. And I get it. It's legs, it's dynamic movements, it's different stuff. But it's just kind of weird. You always hear the term, and I don't mean this to say like anybody is soft, but you always hear the, if it were the playoffs, I could go.
Yeah.
It's playoffs, you know, at this point. So that just speaks to the severity of the injury that Kevin Durant is facing at this point, because it must be very, very bad. Very, very bad if he can't go.
And especially because he's going to be a free agent. You know, the last thing you want to aggravate is those lower leg muscles, the Achilles and the calf, because that can knock you out for a long time.
Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that he's still sitting there?
Yes.
That sucks if that's true. Yeah. And it's like, nah, I don't want to hurt it more before I get paid. before I cash in.
I think he wants to be able to pass a physical in a month.
I'd rather be able to pass it with another ring.
Well, he's got a couple rings. He's got a couple.
You can never have enough rings.
I agree with you, but I don't think that he is thinking that way. Everybody says, well, everybody around the NBA says he's already out of there. So why do anything else for them if you're already out of there?
All right. Sounds good.
I don't think so. I don't think it's great. I think you and I both agree here, actually. But ordinarily, we wouldn't agree on this this way. I would say that with all the money that he's got to spend, I would rather win.
Yeah. Oh, so I just always go back to thinking as a team that is about to acquire that guy, a team that is going to pay this guy bajillions upon bajillions dollar. I'm giving my max contract. I'm giving you everything that I have. Yes, I want you to be healthy. Certainly, I want you to be healthy. I want you to play basketball, too.
Yeah.
And I want you to want to play basketball. I want you to want to win. Now, once again, it's speculation. We don't know what's going on with him. We don't know how bad it is. We don't know how, if he, in his heart of hearts, wants to play really bad, and his medical team saying, dude, you just can't go. You can't pass any of the tests. But if he can go, I would love to see him go if I were the team that was going to spend the money on him.
Me too. Next up in the fast lane, have you ever been in such a hurry to get somewhere you maybe did something dangerous while on the road? That's next before With All Due Respect on 101 ESPN.